The book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, our fifth study in Ezekiel brings us to chapter 8, verse 1. And Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. In the sixth year, in the sixth month, on the fifth day, while I was sitting in my house, and the elders of Judah were sitting before me, the hand of the sovereign Lord came upon me there. Well, the people of God, at least the elders here, are now willing to hear the word of God. They must be, or they wouldn't be at Ezekiel's house. Of course, they're in the middle of suffering punishment, and so God has their attention. Verse 2, I looked, and I saw a figure like that of a man. From what appeared to be his waist down, he was like fire. And from there up, his appearance was as bright as glowing metal. He stretched out what looked like a hand, and took me by the hair of my head. The Spirit lifted me up between earth and heaven. And in visions of God, he took me to Jerusalem, to the entrance, to the north gate of the inner court, where the idol that provokes to jealousy stood. And there before me was the glory of the God of Israel, as in the vision I had seen in the plain. And he said to me, Son of man, look toward the north. So I looked, and in the entrance, north of the gate of the altar, I saw this idol of jealousy. And he said to me, Son of man, do you see what they are doing? The utterly detestable things the house of Israel is doing here, things that will drive me far from my sanctuary. But you will see things that are even more detestable. God here miraculously transports Ezekiel to the temple in Jerusalem. Remember, he's in exile. But God takes him to Jerusalem and takes him to the temple. And while there, God shows why he is so angry and why there is punishment. The Israelites have actually set up an idol in God's holy temple. And we continue. In verse 7, then he brought me to the entrance to the court. I looked, and I saw a hole in the wall. He said to me, Son of man, now dig into the wall. So I dug into the wall and saw a doorway there. Well, now somebody's doing something in secret. Verse 9, and he said to me, go and see the wicked and detestable things they are doing there. So I went in and looked, and I saw portrayed all over the walls all kinds of crawling things and detestable animals and all the idols of the house of Israel. In front of them stood 70 elders of the house of Israel, and Jazaniah, the son of Shaphan, was standing among them. Each had a censer in his hand, and a fragrant cloud of incense was rising. He said to me, Son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel are doing in the darkness, each at the shrine of his own idol? They say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. A very hideous sight here. The leaders of Israel are in a secret room worshiping idols, and they've got pictures and engravings of all detestable crawling creatures and animals that God does not approve of. And they are worshiping all these detestable things. And they're doing it in secret. But no one can hide their sins from God. The Lord sees what is done in secret. And he here reveals them to Ezekiel the prophet. If there were any doubts that the Israelites deserved punishment, those doubts are dissipating. 13. Again he said, you will see them doing things that are even more detestable. That's hard to believe, but it's true. Then he brought me to the entrance to the north gate of the house of the Lord, and I saw women sitting there mourning for Tammuz. Tammuz was an idol, a false god. He said to me, do you see this, son of man? You will see things that are even more detestable than this. Then he brought me into the inner court of the house of the Lord, and there at the entrance to the temple between the portico and the altar were about 25 men with their backs toward the temple of the Lord and their faces toward the east. They were bowing down to the sun in the east. And he said to me, have you seen this, son of man? Is it a trivial matter for the house of Judah to do the detestable things they are doing here? Must they also fill the land with violence and continually provoke me to anger? Look at them, putting the branch to their nose. Therefore, I will deal with them in anger. I will not look on them with pity or spare them. Although they shout in my ears, I will not listen to them. And so here we see the priests worshiping the sun. Idolatry of all kinds going on by the leadership in Israel. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then I heard him call out in a loud voice, bring the guards of the city here, each with a weapon in his hand. It's time for their holy vengeance from God, as we will see, verse 2. And I saw six men coming from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. With them was a man clothed in linen who had a writing kit at his side. They came in and stood beside the bronze altar. And so an angel is seen with an instrument for writing. What's he going to do with it? We're going to see. He's going to mark those who are saved, those who belong to God. Verse 3, now the glory of the God of Israel went up from above the cherubim where it had been. Remember, the presence of God was in the temple between two angels, the cherubim. That was the throne of God on earth. It says here that the glory of God, the visible presence of the Lord, went up from that place. Then the Lord called to the man clothed in linen who had the writing kit at his side and said to him, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. God looks, of course, God knows everyone's heart. He knows if they belong to him or not. But there are some definite signs that prove that people do or do not, and we see one of them right here. The character of God's true children is that they will mourn over wickedness which offends God. They mourn over the wickedness that they commit. They mourn over the wickedness that they see in the world as well. And so God tells the angel, look for the people in the city who are mourning over the sin and mark them out. 5. As I listened, he said to the others, follow him through the city and kill without showing pity or compassion. Slaughter old men and young men, maidens, women, and children. But do not touch anyone who has the mark. Begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were in front of the temple. Now, God makes a distinction between those who belong to him and those who do not belong to him in times of judgment. God's people often have to live through the calamities brought on by the sin of the wicked. We see that here as well. God preserves them through his judgment, but he doesn't always take them out of the place of judgment. Verse 7 says, then he said to them, defile the temple and fill the courts with the slain. Go. So they went out and began killing throughout the city. While they were killing, and I was left alone, I fell face down, crying out, "Ah, Sovereign Lord, are you going to destroy the entire remnant of Israel in this outpouring of your wrath on Jerusalem?" And just notice how Ezekiel doesn't enjoy seeing the wrath of God. Now, you know, it's clear that God's people mourn over sin, their own and the sin of others. They just don't like to see it. But those who have a heart after God's heart, they don't like to see punishment either. I mean, they know that God must eventually punish, but they don't enjoy seeing it. It's not something that they cheer for. They don't cheer God on as he punishes, because God doesn't even like to do it. 9. He answered me, "The sin of the house of Israel and Judah is exceedingly great. The land is full of bloodshed, and the city is full of injustice. They say, 'The Lord has forsaken the land. The Lord does not see.' So I will not look on them with pity or spare them, but I will bring down on their own heads what they have done." They didn't think God saw their sin, which they did in their secret little rooms. Well, his wrath will prove that he did see, and he's doing something about it too. Verse 11, "Then the man in linen with the writing kit at his side brought back word saying, 'I have done as you have commanded.' Whether it's angels or people, all must give an account of their actions to God. As a result, this angel returns to God and reports that he had done what the Lord had told him to do. All must give an account to God. Even angels give an account. There is a day of reckoning." Next time, chapter 10. Until then, so long, everyone.